Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, what you're about to hear is a behind the scenes episode, and before we begin, a quick content warning. The beginning of this episode contains the sounds of chocolate chewing. This is entirely my fault. Actually, let's say it's Øystein's fault, because he's the one who brought the Norwegian chocolate into the studio. Anyway, if you can't stand that kind of thing, apologies, and maybe skip ahead a bit. Right, enjoy the episode.
Congratulations. You've reached the Amelia Project. This phone call isn't happening. If you're not serious about this, hang up. Now. If you continue, there's no way back. Good choice. A new life awaits. You'll hear back from us within the hour. If you don't hear back, please consider the whole thing a hoax. Leave your message after the beep.
I left Scotland 7 years ago, trying to disappear. My plan was to get as far away as possible, but I haven't been able to leave Vienna ever since I arrived 7 years ago. It's the weather, the architecture, the atmosphere, it's everything. It's all just so wonderful, I can't get away. I need help. I have to disappear.
Kona mi, Leanne, nødt til å tro at jeg ikke har forsvunnet. Dere må få det til å høres ut som om jeg med i denne episoden, selv om jeg egentlig et annet sted. Det ingenting som umulig for Amelia, sant?
Was assoziieren Sie mit dem Wiener Prater? Die riesigen Schweinsstelzen im Schweizerhaus, Langosch und Lilliputbahn? Oder vielleicht die ikonische Szene aus dem dritten Mann, in der Orson Welles im Riesenrad fährt? Nachdem Sie mein Verschwinden inszeniert haben, wird niemand mehr an diese Dinge denken.
Je suis surchargé de travail et mal payé. Je passe la moitié de ma journée sur le putain de métro. Allez, France, Châtelet, Saint-Denis, j'en ai marre. Je dois disparaître.
Welcome. Can I offer you some cocoa?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
Just some official bits and bobs before the fun begins. Name?
Øystein.
I asked you for your name, not your last disease.
Well, it is Øystein.
Wow.
I'm Norwegian. That explains it.
Occupation?
Artistic director of Imploding Fictions, co-creator, writer and director of The Amelia Project.
How's the cocoa working out for you?
Well, it's great. Mm. And I've just got the thing to go with it.
What's that?
Oh, Øystein, you're a star.
All right, what is listen it? To this. Yeah, best sound of the world. This is Norwegian chocolate.
Freya chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Freya?
Isn't like Swiss chocolate supposed to be the best in the world?
Norwegians are very proud of their chocolate.
Oh, very much.
Oh,
so.
Wow, this is actually really good. Go home, Swiss chocolate.
Thank you, Osun.
You're welcome. We've now made it impossible for ourselves to continue this podcast, which is didn't
We should get Freya to sponsor us for season one.
Yeah.
Name?
Oh, sorry, it's Philip. Pip for short.
Philip. We're just thinking about your nickname there.
Pip. It stands for Philip in person.
Occupation?
I'm artistic director of Imploding Fictions, writer and director of the Amelia Project.
So you do what he does?
Essentially, yes.
Why do there need to be two of you?
Actors are kind of scary, so it's always good to have backup.
You're French?
Oh, God, no, I just live there.
In France?
In Paris.
So you're British?
Kind of.
Kind of?
I'm half British, half German. And my mum's German, my dad's English. Actually, his mum was Swiss, so that makes me a quarter English, a quarter Swiss.
Next!
I'm Julia.
You're the Austrian one.
No.
We're in Austria. Someone
well,
must
I
be.
Well, I live here in Vienna, but I'm not actually Austrian.
I don't have time for this. Occupation?
I'm a co-founder of Open House Theatre, which is an English language theatre based here in Vienna. And I work on casting and general coordination for the Amelia Project. Oh, and you might also recognise my voice from the intros and outros.
Good, good, good. So that just leaves me. I'm Alan. I'm general manager of Open House Theatre, and I play the interviewer. Philip and Øystein, do you want to give us a bit of a background?
Sure. So making a narrative podcast is something we've been talking about for a very long time.
If we should start at the beginning, maybe... we both studied theatre directing at Rose Bruford College, so that's where we met, started collaborating and stuff, and we thought about theatre in a very similar way. And that was something that kind of drew us together, alongside the fact that I love the fact that Pip is a magician.
Unfortunately, since this is audio, you can't see that at the moment I'm wearing a tails and a top hat. And watch this, are you ready? One, two, three...
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, our listeners can't see what just happened, but trust me, it was amazing.
Amazing.
So most of our shows to date have included some sort of magic, trickery, that kind of stuff.
It's probably only a matter of time until some magic comes into Amelia. And in fact, we've just finished writing a murder mystery play about a bullet catch illusion.
Which goes horribly wrong.
And there will be an episode of the Amelia Project about Melissa, who's a time-tripping magician.
Yeah, don't give away too much yet, though.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm digressing. We were talking about meeting at Rose Bruford.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things I knew about Øystein was that he directed a show in which he'd kidnapped his entire audience on the way to the theatre.
Okay.
come again?
Yeah, so he kidnapped his audience and held them hostage. And so these rumours were going around Rose Bruford that we had this new Norwegian student who'd done this. And as soon as I heard that, I got curious and I thought, okay, I
do you want
I
to maybe explain, Øystein?
Yeah, well, no. I did a show where the audience was told to get on the bus. And they were going to be driven to the place where the performance was going to take place. But what the audience didn't know was that along the road, the bus would be stopped by four actors who all had guns, who then hijack the bus and bring the audience to a remote warehouse where the rest of the show kind of took place.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that made you think, I want to work with this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what initially drew me to it. And then we started collaborating, making some theatre pieces and some short films together.
Our graduation piece was The Hamlet Machine by Heine Müller. We convinced our tutors to let us team up, co-direct, co-devise a show based on that text.
And we used that show then to which we made still at college, but then we still used when we left college, we then took it to various festivals used that to start our own theatre company. which is called Imploding Fictions. So we toured festivals in Austria, France, Norway, Italy, Egypt.
Which was absolutely insane. We'd only just graduated at that point, but the Egyptian festival must have thought that we were a bigger deal than we were, because they put our show in the Cairo Opera House.
Which was purely down to our blagging the fact that we were bigger than we were. We just graduated, and I think we were good blag artists, and they thought they were inviting the RSC or something.
And then they ended up with us.
Yep,
it's a nasty surprise.
We want to see how the English do Hamlet, someone from the festival said. And our show was kind of full of German postmodernism music by Rammstein.
Half of the audience left, and the other half...
They gave us a standing ovation, so it wasn't all bad. And it was a great experience. Like, just generally going, like, travelling with a show is so much fun.
Although, I mean, if you're out there, if the listener... if you're going to be travelling with a show, just a little word of recommendation from me. Don't take a handgun in your luggage. That's not a good idea.
Good advice.
It's based on personal experience, actually.
So this was when we flew to Hamburg to make a short film, and from Stansted. Obviously, it wasn't a real gun. It fired blanks.
But yeah, it was a prop for the film that we were going to make. Though, Stansted Airport Security found it real enough.
Yeah, and next thing I know, there's this big burly security guy with a machine gun marching down the queue for people boarding the plane saying, Mr. Brager.
This is no exaggeration. I was actually there.
Yeah, and Einstein gets... frog marched off, and Julia and I are left to board the plane alone with the actors. So,
no idea when Osen would be able to follow, if or whether he'd, you know, be.
It was about 24 hours later.
Stuck away in jail.
I got to know Stansted Airport very well. I was stuck there for over 24 hours.
Oh, I think the kidnapping concept sounds amazing. I think it's wonderful that I actually know someone who's now been arrested at an airport for carrying firearms. But aside from kidnapping, blagging and getting arrested for possession of firearms, is there more to Imploding Fictions than semi-criminal activity?
There is. In the last few years, Imploding Fiction's activity has been mostly in Oslo. We've been running a project there called Oslo International Theatre, which is doing rehearsed readings of contemporary international plays.
Yeah, so that was mostly Einstein, and I moved to Paris. My life took a completely different turn. I became a dad, and I sort of... we still kind of... collaborated a bit by email. I did some dramaturgy work on some of the Imploding Fictions and Oslo International Theatre shows, but mostly I was very busy, you know, eating baguettes, changing nappies and that kind of thing. And basically I left the theatre behind for a few years and tried to be an adult.
How did that work out for you?
Well, I'm back here with you, aren't I?
Pip and I really wanted to find a way to collaborate again, and then last Christmas we met up in London and spent an entire day in the Waterstones Cafe in Hampstead, drinking tea, brainstorming.
Drinking so much tea. I remember I really needed to pee, and I went to the loo, and there was some guy taking forever, so I rattled on the door, politely at first, then not so politely. Eventually the door opens and Alan Davis walks out.
Wow. And you forgot you needed to pee and went back to the table.
Exactly, yeah, I was so starstruck. I love Alan Davis.
In case he's listening to this, actually.
Yes, if you're listening, Alan Davis would love you to play a part on the Amelia Project.
He'd be perfect as Bob.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes, we wouldn't be able to pay you that much, but there would definitely be a bar of Norwegian chocolate in it for you.
Oh, no doubt. Alan Davis, if you're listening to this, send Julia an email at julia@openhousetheatre.at.
And we might even be able to stretch to two or three bars of chocolate. And I'm really sorry that I rattled the door. Anyway, let's get back to where we were.
So, where were we?
You were waiting in line in the Waterstones for a pee.
Yes, that's right. So, so we apart from that, we also had a very productive meeting, and that's where we discussed the concept of an organisation that fakes its clients' deaths and allows them to reappear in a new life.
So after that meeting, we went off, each to a different country, started writing scripts.
And I sent them to Julia to get some feedback.
I'm Philip's sister, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right.
So Philip sent me the first few scripts. And, I mean, I've had 30 years' experience of Philip's wacky imagination. But still, each episode managed to take me completely by surprise, and I immediately became addicted, kept badgering him to send me more episodes. And yeah, I thought this is something I'd really love to get on board with. And seeing as the Amelia Project is all about collecting stories, and at Open House Theatre, our motto is stories worth telling, I thought this seems like a perfect fit. So I took this idea to Alan.
And I read a couple of episodes, and I'm one of these guys who, when I read a play or a scene or whatever, I don't usually laugh out loud or cry out loud or do any of these things, but I did laugh out loud when I read through these. And one score. Thing that's exactly score, one, you know, brownie point check. And one thing that struck me about the writing was because I have written some things in the past myself, some comedy sketches and things, and I felt very comfortable with the style of writing. So for me, it was a kind of no-brainer that we would do this. And at Open House Theatre, we're always looking to broaden our horizons and get involved with different projects. So, hey, why not? Let's try a podcast.
Yeah, so we were really excited to be collaborating with Open House. And in fact, although Julia and I are sisters and both work in theatre...
Brother and sister.
What did I just say?
Sisters. You're giving the game away, Pip. Oh,
this cocoa's good, isn't it?
Lovely. Actually, why do you say cocoa?
It should be
hot chocolate.
Yeah, I know. So, well, I think cocoa is... I don't know, because I always get confused with German, where you can say cacao.
Cacao, yeah.
But in the first script, I wrote cocoa, and then I didn't want to change it because somehow it's snappier and it's just one word. And to
Fair
me,
enough.
It sounds funny. I don't know if anyone else thinks that. But anyway, this is probably a discussion we should have had before actually recording an episode. But to me, cocoa sounds funny.
We should explain to the listeners where this cocoa is from, shouldn't we, Pip?
Right. So I brought this over specially from Paris, and it's the real deal from Les Deux Magots.
People who've been listening to the first two episodes have probably noticed that cocoa and Les Deux Magots is mentioned, and those two features will play an even bigger role in episodes to come. I'm imagining that if you cut the interview's veins open, I don't know if you agree, Alan, but I think the thick hot chocolate would come running out instead of blood.
I believe that's true. Yes.
Do you actually even like hot chocolate, Alan, or is this like torture for you right now?
Well, no. I mean, well, hot chocolate per se, I don't drink, because hot chocolate for me is covered with milk and cream and lots of sugar. But I do almost every single day. I drink a mug of cacao, which is just straight-up cocoa powder and hot water.
Ah, so there's the difference. The one is actually liquid chocolate and the other is just the powder.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, the cocoa powder is what you use for cakes and things,
yeah,
and
true,
it's not
yeah.
sweet at all. It's actually quite fatty, and it's extremely good for you. It's very, very healthy, which is only one of the reasons why I drink it. I do love the taste as well, but I don't really do sugar or milk, so... Hot chocolate, not so much.
Okay. But the stuff at Les Deux Magots, I mean, it's kind of like, it's almost like, so you put your spoon in it and it stands in there. So it's kind of, it's like liquid chocolate, really, isn't it? I don't know how they make it.
It's absolutely amazing.
I tried finding the recipe online, but it doesn't, I think it's a secret.
Yeah.
Well, with regards to that, my taste buds would say yes, my discipline would say no.
Pip and I went to Les Deux Magots a few weeks ago, and we actually discovered there are these two huge wooden figures of Oriental magicians who are hanging on the walls.
Turns out that that's what Les Deux Magots means. I thought it meant two maggots.
You've got to work on your French.
It'd be a rubbish name for a cafe, though, right?
No, but I thought that was part of the chart. I thought it was like, how wonderfully creepy this cafe called The Two Maggots. And I thought, like, how Amelia. And, you know, so, no, it doesn't. It means, I looked it up on Wikipedia. Mago means a figurine in a Japanese or Chinese style. I think you can forgive me for not knowing that Icelandic French, because that's pretty
I don't know any
obscure
stuff.
Yeah.
I'm planning, though, at some point I have to write an episode about two Chinese magicians coming into the Amelia office.
That'd be great.
Yeah. What's
We should get Les Deux Magots to sponsor season one.
Yes, exactly. I'll go in there and I'll just say, donnez-nous du financement et beaucoup de chocolat chaud gratuit. And they'll take one look at me and go, oui.
Chocolat chaud, that's all I got.
Yeah. What's hot chocolate in Norwegian?
Well, you can call it cacao or varm chocolade.
Varm chocolade.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Alan, if you could actually choose a method of disappearance, what would you go for and how would you want to come back?
So many options. I wish I'd read this bit before I didn't get it. Let me get back
Shall
to
I go
that
first?
One. Yes,
then,
please,
okay.
Please. Yes.
So I've lived in Vienna for almost 5 years now and I still completely love this place. So I think I'd want my disappearance to play out in front of an iconically Viennese background. I actually live quite close to the Prater, which is Vienna's fun park. Most people probably know that old-fashioned Ferris wheel. Mm. It actually features in two of my all-time favourite movies, which are Before Sunrise and, of course, The Third Man. So that's one of the rides, but there's actually another ride which is less famous but much more exciting.
It was my wife who made you go on it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the Praterturm, which is a 117-metre-high chair-a-plane. Yeah, so you can see it from all over the city because it's a great big tower. But I'd never actually dared to go on it until my sister-in-law recently convinced me.
I chickened out, by the way.
Yeah. It was amazing. Next time you're going to have to go because it was an exhilarating experience. You're like, yeah, flying high over Vienna with a perfect view into the towers and church spires and the hills beyond. It was great. So for my disappearance, I would want to get onto the chairplane on a clear day, wait until it had reached its final height, then my seat would detach and be flung off into the distance while the crowd below held its breath, but neither a body nor the seat would ever be found. And for my reappearance, obviously, I'd want to reappear in Vienna because I don't know if you knew this, but it's recently been crowned the most livable city in Europe for the 8th time in a row. So, yeah, I'd still want to stay here and I think I'd still want to work for my own business. So apart from theatre, my passions are baking, playing board games, reading and spending time with my daughter. So I think I would like to run a cafe that had board games and books and a big play area for kids.
Mm, sounds nice.
That'd be nice. Mm,
lovely. Okay, so for me, well, as a magician, I like to baffle people. So I'd like my disappearance to be something really impossible. There's a story, I think it's a Sherlock Holmes story, in which someone gets onto an empty tube carriage. And when it arrives at the next station, the carriage is empty. This is a really nice mystery, I think. So I'd like to do something like that. And disappearing from the metro would make sense because the Paris metro is a place where I think I've had some of my darkest thoughts. I spent many years teaching business English in Paris, which kind of involves shuttling back and forth between various offices, often with very, very little time, and not having proper lunch breaks, but just eating kind of sandwich lunches on the metro in crowded, smelly carriages. So I've been in this situation, just fantasizing about, dreaming about being able to just disappear and teletransport myself somewhere completely different. So what I'd do is I would get onto the very last metro at Saint-Lazare at around midnight. Saint-Lazare's the nearest metro station to where I live. I'd get onto the carriage in full view of the CCTV cameras. And by the time the train pulls into the next station, Madeleine, 2 minutes later, I would be gone.
Nice.
And for my reappearance, I'm obsessed with Venice. Ever since watching Don't Look Now, I've really wanted to go to Venice in winter. This year I finally did it, and it was absolutely amazing. The mist, the crumbling buildings, the tides emerging the city, it was exactly how I'd imagined it. In fact, there's an Amelia episode about this coming along later down the line as well. So my new life would be as a fisherman on Burano, a little island in the Venice Lagoon. So should I mysteriously disappear one day, that's where you'll find me.
Cool. That episode's going to be very confusing for a lot of my friends back home who, when I told them I was moving to Vienna, said, "Oh, really, with the gondolas?" Yes, right. Yes, it is.
And the other one is Austria, Australia, of course.
Yes, so many letters do a round-the-world trip instead of us personally that are posted to us and arrive in Australia.
Cool. Alan, do you have a...
I do, actually. I've just thought of my perfect disappearance and perfect reappearance. That I get whisked off one day by a very large production company, preferably based in Los Angeles, California, go off to this magical world where everything is created by a team behind these magical objects called cameras, and come back to Vienna anywhere from 6 months up to a year and a half later, depending on the size of the wonderful disappearance that they create for me, and come back with the influence and the finances and the resources to create my own theatre that we can all come and play in.
That would be much more convenient than handing in those funding applications every year.
It would be, but until that time, we'll continue to do the funding applications.
Absolutely. What about you, Eysen?
Actually, I discussed this with my wife, Leanne, and before I came here, and she swore that if I disappeared, she would come looking for me. And then I said, well, you wouldn't if you think that I'm dead. And she said, well, now I will. So I guess since she's onto me already, I'm going to have to disappear in such a way that she would think that I haven't disappeared. But that is probably impossible, right?
Without faith, nothing is possible. With it, nothing is impossible. Shall we crack open the champagne?
That's a good idea. So let's everyone take a glass. Here we go. Let's
pass this
around.
Alan.
Who's going to do the? Who's going to open the bottle?
Go for it, Philip.
Shall I open it? Okay.
Yes.
Righty-ho. There we go. Okay. Just a moment. I don't want to get like liquids all over Gabriel's equipment. we're recording in Tongeber Studios, by the way. Gabriel Geber. And so if anybody ever needs any audio stuff in Vienna, that's the place to go, Tongeber. Okay, so put your fingers in your ears, everyone. One, two, three.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.
Santé. Santé. This behind-the-scenes episode of The Amelia Project featured Alan Bergen, Øystein Braga, Philip Thorne, and myself, Julia C. Thorne. It also featured Øystein's wife, Leanne Stoddard, and Julia Morizawa on the answer phone, Coco from Les Deux Magots, and Norwegian Chocolate. This episode was recorded at Tongeber Studios with the assistance of Gabriel Geber and was edited by Øystein Braga. Music by Fredrik Baden. Graphic design by Anders Pedersen and production coordination by Julia C. Thorne. For more information, see ameliapodcast.com. Alan Davies, if you're listening, our offer to appear in Season 1 still stands. That's all for now. Look forward to welcoming you back to Amelia again soon.
Where the
hell
is he? Eystein, where is he?
I don't...
He said he was just popping down to the shops to get some brunost.
Brunost?
It's Norwegian cheese. Brown. Tastes of caramel.
It's really good.
It's gross.
I'd like to try some. Where can I get some?
Can we please stop talking about cheese? My husband has just disappeared.
Leanne, I'm sure he hasn't disappeared. He's just...
Shut up, Pip. I don't trust you. You're a magician.
One, two, three.
Wow. That was amazing.
And I'm back.
That was amazing. Who's coming to get some brunost?
I'm in.
I'm coming just to see your grossed out reaction.
Bye, Leanne.
Hey,
bye.
Where's everybody going? What about Einstein?
The Fable and Folly Network.
where fiction producers flourish.
Please try to get some sleep tonight.
I've been trying to sleep all week. Nothing helps.
You could try a sleep sound.
No, thanks. You've had enough nightmares for the both of us.
Let me go! Come on. The medication has nothing to do with that. I haven't had a bad dream in ages.
Ever since your highly problematic affair in Idaho?
Oh my God. Never stop. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened?
Well, you still haven't told me who you're bringing to graduation.
Oh. Your heart is racing.
How can you tell?
You're lying on top of me.
What if I don't want anyone else to know yet?
And it wasn't a bad dream?
I don't know.
Christopher, you know.
Can't you appreciate that I'm trying to help you here?
Thanks for the pills, Lils.
Dreamers, Season 2 by Broken Crown Productions. Tune in weekly wherever you listen to podcasts.